Hey, we got a lot to do this morning. And so that we are through in time to continue to watch Texas Tech Red Raiders in the Final Four. That's just awesome. That's awesome. No. I didn't see it. Huh? Yeah. So, Texas Tech is representing us well. Did they really? I didn't know those old Texas boys had it in them. Good grief. Wow, that's terrible. Okay, let's begin this morning in celebration of all that we have to go with a word of prayer. And the purpose of the prayer, test yourself to see if you're filled with the Spirit. Wednesday evening, just to let you know, little commercial, we finished the book of Acts, one chapter at a night, on Wednesday night. But what I'm going to do now is the Pentecostal movement, which came about at the end of the 1800s, relies greatly on the book of Acts. And they say that the book of Acts establishes the pattern for speaking in tongues and how that dictates whether someone's a believer and all of that. So what I'm going to do on this Wednesday night is we're going to look at the book of Acts and study it from the standpoint of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Because that's what the book of Acts is about. The Gospels are the advent of Jesus Christ. The book of Acts is the advent of the Holy Spirit. First advent. The second advent of Christ is just before the millennium. And the second advent of the Holy Spirit is at the beginning of the millennium, where all Jewish believers will be permanently empowered by God the Holy Spirit. That'll begin the millennium. So, that doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit wasn't in the Old Testament, but the advent of filling and indwelling in believers. And what you have a picture of is on the day of Pentecost, they were so controlled, filled, engulfed, baptized, engulfed in the Holy Spirit that he could control their speaking, that they could speak a language that they did not know and speak it eloquently. And people want to imitate that. What is more important, people, is imitating the love of Christ, which we cannot do unless we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. He does this in capturing, filling, controlling, so that we can love as Christ loved. But we're going to study only three occasions, in the entire book of Acts, where the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is accompanied with speaking in a foreign language. And we're going to study why those are there. This did not set a pattern. Pentecost based their theology on a pattern of Acts. And they claim that Acts establishes the pattern for spirituality throughout the church age. That is not the case. But we can't just say it. We've got to look at Scripture, understand Scripture, and see what's going on. So that's what we're going to do Wednesday evening. But this morning, I'm going to test yourself, be sure you're powered by the Spirit, by faith, so that all that we do is glorifying to God the Father, glorifying of His Son. So let's begin with a word of prayer. The Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for Jesus Christ setting up the local church as a classroom in the church age, place where we fellowship, worship, encourage one another, and grow in the Word of God. We thank you for this assembly. Pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. This is Communion Sunday, so let's begin with hymn number 430. 430, The Old Rugged Cross. Let's stand and sing together. Sing another one? That's all right. Okay. Let's see. Well, first of all, Larry, you have a young guest with you today. Who's that young person with you there?
It's my younger sister. Hardly a guest.
Thomas, how you doing?
Good. How are
you? Pretty good. All right. And we are just so happy to have with us Mr. Jim Langston.
Yay!
Yay. Yay. Now, Jim, you and Trey, this hairstyle y'all are developing here.
He's still got me beat.
You ever notice that people that have a lot of hair always point that out?
Jim, You're from Red Hat. Good to be here. How's it on prayers? What's the status?
We're doing well. Had another treatment Friday. And
Thursday.
Yes, Thursday, and it went well. So marker they use shows that the treatment is working, and so it's good. Good progress, and I contributed to all the prayers. You know, the medicine was okay, but it's the prayers that I think still need. So.
The great physicians always the opposite of our thanksgiving.
Appreciate every prayer.
Very good. We'll continue being in prayer for you.
Thank you.
Amen. Okay, is there any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes.
I just want to give thanks to everybody praying for me. I have gotten the diagnosis that I end up with the asthma, but it's a mild kind that is treatable. Mm-hmm. It's called cough variant asthma. This also is a blessing because I have learned too that it's more common than you realize. So if you guys have a lot of allergies and treat it year over year, it can turn into cough variant asthma. The symptom would be that you cough without any fever, a very deep cough, because the bronchial tube is damaged from viral infection year over year. So if you have allergy and treat it, please go see the doctor. Don't try to be your own doctor. In this case, like I do, and with this, I also have a prayer request that I have a very bad turmoil at work. There are just so many details about it that it's too much to disclose. But whatever is happening, I can see the opportunity to glorify the Lord. And it also has been strengthening my marriage with Brian, so I'm thankful for that. I just need your prayer for clarity, for wisdom, and also for self-control, especially in a situation where I may not be justifiably reprimand or anything, but I can still turn it around, but I need energy to do it. So.
Okay, thank you for giving us the idea of what to pray for. I like that when people say, this is what I'm especially in need for. Very good. We'll be in prayer, Jerry. Thank you very much. Let's see. Let's be in prayer with St. Clair's father. And what's his condition today?
He's bedridden. And, you know, he suffered from emphysema and lung cancer. And they've been telling us he's going to die in 3 days for about 3 months now. So he's just hanging in there.
He's hanging in there.
Yeah.
Armory fella.
Yeah. A lot of gristle.
I would ask Jennifer how her mother, but she told me her mother was complaining, griping, and hurting, so she's doing good. Any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes, sir.
I'd like to ask for strength and guidance because I, as of this week, am officially an Aggie.
Yeah. Woo!
I'll be going to A&M on the ROCC scholarship, so strength for getting through all that stuff. I'll be in the Corps.
Very good.
All right.
All right. I always regret that I didn't go to A&M. My brother went to A&M. He was in the Corps. He got to go up there. I got to go in the days of somebody, I don't know, Yogi, have you ever heard of John David Crowe?
Yeah.
You will know about John David Crowe. He's a Heisman Trophy winner, football player at A&M. Yeah, I got to watch him play football at A&M when my brother was there.
When I was there, I watched him play ball. So, I got the honor of being there when he was there playing.
And that is an honor.
Yeah, Bear Bryant. Bear Bryant was the coach.
Third.
That was pro football. You know, pro football went around when these guys were watching.
Before they used helmets.
They were just leather hats.
And my brother's yearbook, it goes in the football section. It says, crow, crow, and more crow.
Yeah.
Talking about the forgettings. And, okay, so any other prayer requests we might have? All right. The word of God declares whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so that he give a grudging nor a necessity. For God loveth the gracious giver. The gracious giver is one, person who has personally believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, and two, knows how to be filled with the Spirit by grace through faith, because it is the Holy Spirit who guides us, empowers us what to do with our time and money. So with these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. We have so much going on. We are a small, humble assembly, but God has given us so many opportunities. The internet, young people, camp, slam camp, and missionaries, and there's so many different opportunities that we have, and we're open for more. So let yes.
I have to tell that I finally got all of the count and the reconciled the number of countries we've reached to date since we moved the server. We have reached 134 countries.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, sometimes I don't know what happens to y'all on Wednesday night, but it's just a handful. We can meet in some church's restroom, and but just knowing that it goes out is quite an encouragement. Thank you very much, Julie. All right, let's prepare ourselves for the offertory with prayer. Heavenly Father, salvation is free. Gospel is by grace. No charge at all. But Satan is the ruler of the world. He has been so since the fall and until the millennium. And in Satan's world, it cost. It cost Heavenly Father to get the gospel out. We pray now that you'll receive the offerings that we're about to give, that you'll use these offerings to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior. In his precious name we pray. Amen. An important week and an exciting week for a lot of people, not so much for all of us, but there were a lot who were at Slam Camp. And so to get a report, I'm just going to turn it over to Chris Day. Chris?
All right. Good morning, everybody. Very excited to be up here to tell you a little bit about Slam. I'm not going to do a lot of talking. Is that loud enough, kid? Are we good? Okay. Today, but I would like to open with prayer of thanksgiving for an amazing weekend with a group of young people, a group of staff that just, we spent the whole weekend worshiping, praying, fellowshipping, studying, and it was awesome. It was just an awesome weekend, and we'll tell you a little bit about it, but let's start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time this morning to look back on a weekend that was totally dedicated to you, sir. And we just thank you for the chance to be able to take 26 high schoolers, a group of staff that were all committed to pouring into these young people and enjoying a phenomenal weekend of talking about how to live the reckless Christian life in a world that will try to put you down. And Father, we just thank you for all the support the Spirit gives us as we go through all of this. We thank you for the love that you have for us, and we thank you for your Son. In Christ's name, amen. So our weekend, as you all can see, was Ben did a thing a few months back and kind of talked through what our topics were on reckless. And when we first put it up, it was a bit of, what do you mean go be reckless? Kind of a weird way to look at it. But when we started really getting into it and spending some time in it, it was awesome. It was really awesome because when we live the Christian life in the world today, it can look really reckless. And if we're really, you know, living out our faith, it can feel really reckless because the world will tell you you're a fool. Yet Christ and God says, you're not a fool. Trust me. And so our passage for the weekend that we kind of started with, we spent some time with, was Psalm 37:5. It says, it's actually the whole passage, so I'll just read it to you here. But take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. And so our focus was really on commit your way to the Lord. And then, like I said, in this world, that can seem kind of reckless because the world will tell you, go out and do this and go find ways to succeed and go read the right books. And the right books will tell you how to make $1 million, or in this case, we talked about $1 billion or $150 billion if you want to be the richest man in the world. So, but our focus the whole weekend was take delight in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways and trust in Him, because it's about our righteousness. It's about His righteousness that flows through us. And so 26 teenagers, 12 staff, went to Lake Levan Conference Center, Camp and Conference Center. It was at the new location, so it was our first time there. I'm going to let the campers and some of the staff tell you what their opinions were of the camp. My opinion was I loved it. It was awesome. It was really a neat facility. They may argue with me on that, but I'll let them tell you whether that's true or not. What I'd like to do is let's just start with that. Let's get them telling you, because it's not about what I think about the whole thing. It's about what did they take out of it. So I'm going to ask everybody here who are the campers that went, which there's four of them. So four. Hey, that's not too bad. Four out of the 26. So I have two. Can you guys come up here real quick? Just because then we don't have to pass things around. Just come hang out up here. I got two questions for them. What did you like best about the weekend, and what did you take away from the weekend? Okay, so.
I think that the best thing of Slam Camp was that we could learn how to be leaders and learn about the scripture at the same time. I think that was a great opportunity that we have, and that we could all study a little bit about the war and then share it with all the other people, so we could like have that role, and I really like that. And the thing that I take off the knowledge that I learn about the scripture, and I take the memories that I make and the people that I met for the first time.
My favorite part about the camp this week was how we had to have like real discussions with people our age who have gone through like the same experiences as us. So like Saturday night we stayed up to like 4 in the morning just talking about life and just
Nope. Definitely not.
So we just talked about like we just talked about like high school and like what comes after high school. So what I took out of the camp was, like, you have to have that relationship with God. You have to put your faith in Him and allow the Holy Spirit to take over so you can just make that change in your life and live Him.
Okay, so this is my third year going to Slam Camp. And for me, it was like, at first, whenever people first started signing up, none of my friends signed up. It was just me. So I was a little concerned because I've never gone to a camp like without like any of my friends being there with me. But I had like the best group of people come this year. Some of like my best friends came. So that was just really cool because I wasn't expecting that to happen. I was like, okay, God, like, what are you doing? Like, I don't really want to go by myself. But I ended up having like the best time for sure I wouldn't have wanted it any other way with anyone else. I'm going to share some of the things that my friend said at Bible study, because we kind of shared to our other people that come to Bible study, like, what we learned. One kid, his name is Tommy, this was his first time going to, like, a church camp away from home. He's never had a sleepover in his life, so he was really nervous to come. I've been friends with him for a long time, but he had the best time. He was smiling the whole time. And one thing he said that I thought was really cool is, I felt so welcome the minute I got out of the car. Everyone welcomed him, and he said that, like, he had the best time, and this was, like, a really cool chance for him to just learn about God, because his family has had a really hard time finding a church. No one's really welcomed them in, and he was like, this is the first time that I felt, like, super welcomed at a church camp. So that was really cool for me to hear, because, like, I've always felt that. I've always felt super welcome, but I thought it was just because, like, my parents, and, like, I've known everyone for the longest time, but just to hear someone else say that. One of my other friends who has been going to camp with me since I've started going, her name's Riley Winkler. She said that she's met people that she's been going to camp with since she started coming, which would be, like, 6 years now, and she just connected with them this slam camp. So I think it was really cool to just see those connections happen this year, because I've never felt that in the past, but this year was, like, really different for me. And for me personally, I think what I took away from it is that, like, how to live your life, like, knowing that God, like, trusting God, because a lot of times, like, I'm a super controlling person, and I like to do everything myself. But, like, I really learned the same camp how to, like, give it to God. So...
I think this year was probably one of my favorite years of SLAM ever. Which I think I say that every year because it just keeps getting better. But I had this realization when I came back from camp this year, and it was like, the people that are at SLAM camp are really my biggest group of friends and my closest group of friends that I actually have. And so being around them always gives me the opportunity to be myself, and just we have some deep discussions and we have a good time together and we're laughing the whole weekend. And I got to bring my friend Tyrus this year. It was his first time at SLAM. He came to summer camp last year for the first time. But I know he would have come, but I forgot to ask him to come. And I just know he had an awesome time. He loves it. He always feels welcome. And I know it changed his life when he started coming. But being with my friends is probably my favorite thing, just because I don't get to see them all the time. But the favorite thing that we did, I think my favorite event from this weekend, was we brought in a dance instructor on Saturday night, and she taught us some barn dances, I think is what she called it, and some swing, and it was just a lot of fun. Like, we were not good, but...
I was good.
It was just a good time. Like, everybody got out of their comfort zone. Well, most everybody got out of their comfort zone. And I think everybody really enjoyed it for the most part. We also got to do some zip lining. So we had some people climbing up a 50-foot tower to go zip line off of it. And they got up there, and they're freezing. Some people started crying at the top, but, you know, you get to see them. You get to see him just jump off the thing and just let go. I think my favorite picture from this weekend is me going down the zip line, like, just completely letting go of everything. But honestly, just being around the people, I think, is my favorite part. And stuff that I took away is, like, I mean, I know I kind of made the outline, but I kept learning stuff this weekend, and just seeing it applied. And seeing how people took the different passages and interpreted them in different ways. And so learning about how important prayer is, that was the group that I was in. We were focused on how We were focused on prayer and how important it is and how we pray and why we pray. We got to learn about why to read the Bible. Like, what is the point of reading the Bible? We got to learn about putting on the armor of God, or putting on, or taking off the old and putting on the new and becoming a new creation so that you can live recklessly. Because we read this weekend, Jesus said the world will hate you because they hated me first. And so if we're living our reckless life the way that we're supposed to, it's not going to be easy in the world. The world's not going to agree with us. But I think that's kind of a way that we can measure ourselves and say that we're living the way we're supposed to, is if the world is not accepting us. And so learning to be reckless and learning what we're supposed to be doing when we're living and how we're supposed to live, trusting in the Holy Spirit to guide us, and taking those and applying it to our lives, and not just doing it at camp for one weekend, but taking it out of camp and putting it in our real lives every single day. So I think that was something that was really important, and something that I really tried to focus on this weekend. So we had several staff that went up with us. We had some folks that came up from College Station, Cameron, and Addie was there, and Biz, and Macy, and Dylan, and Jackson, and then it was me, and Lori, Larry, Brian, Pam came to be a part of the staff. Phil was the pastor for the weekend and did the teaching, and Pat came and supported us in all kinds of ways. Just awesome to have Pat come sit in on one of your small group Bible studies. She won't say a whole lot, and then all of a sudden she'll say something that's like, oh, wow, okay, that was cool, or ouch, that hurt. But it's really cool. So what I'd like to do is I'd prefer that they give their 30 seconds of, or however long, of, hey, what did SLAM mean to you? So we'll start, let's see, right, Bill's going to talk in a second. Larry, you want to start? And then we'll start passing around real quick.
Okay, so it was really a cool weekend because it started actually at our house, or before our house, when Ben came up with this theme. We were all very excited about it from the very beginning. And then the T-shirt you see in front of you was designed by one of our campers, Lauren O'Neill, who wasn't able to join us. But I just saw God working from the way early, I mean January, on this whole camp. I mentioned those couple things. Mackenzie was working from Nacogdoches, just trying to help promote things related to camp for us. And then having these kids at our home every Sunday 3 weeks prior and watching them just dive right in together. I mean, they were chosen to work together in SLAM families that necessarily weren't their friends. I know Ben mentioned, you know, this weekend is enjoyable to him because he's with his closest friends. But in all honesty, some of these people don't even see each other except for when they're at camp. So even the ones Ryan mentioned, those are not the people that you necessarily socialize with on a regular basis. But the connections were immediate when they sat down to start working. And Phil helped them from the very first Sunday. We knew that we wanted them to focus really on their devotional studies so that when they go to summer camp this summer, they'll be able to lead these devotions in a way that's biblically sound and not just what they think about what a verse says. So we taught them how to observe and interpret, and they spent more time working on that than they did their activities. I mean, that was really their focus from the very beginning, and it was so apparent when we got to camp, because the blessing we had by being closer, when you talk about the facility, was seen by Friday night. Usually we would drive 3 hours to get to where we were going before, so the kids would stay in their little cliques until well into Saturday morning. And this time, because they could all drive out there themselves, they were there in 30 minutes. We were still had daylight by the time we finished dinner. By Friday night, they were actually they were up on stage, had already dissected a verse, and were presenting to all of us, which they hadn't even known they were going to do. But they jumped right in from the very beginning. And And you could just see the barriers were gone. I mean, there was no disconnect between not only their groups, but their groups working all together. So for me, I think that was the biggest joy, was to not only watch them have this incredible sense of unity, but to see that we were standing before a group of young people who are very equipped to do what we do. I mean, you know, Ben comes up with the study, Lauren comes up with the creative, Mackenzie promotes it, the kids do the study. We were not anywhere near up till midnight. I mean, the college kids were the chaperones. We just sat back and watched God work. I mean, I truly, very, very little. Run and go get pizza. You know, I mean, like, it was a wonderful thing. It was really, really good. Oh, I'm sorry. There is one thing that that was magical at the very end, and I know Ryan mentioned it when she shared it Wednesday night with our group, and for me it was one of the main highlights. And again, this is a complete God thing, because Lori and I were in the car for 3 minutes driving from one side of the camp to the other at the most, and we were coming up with something that we wanted to be impactful before the kids left. And we realized we wanted them to think through what the objection is that they may have that's keeping them from living this reckless life that we're talking about. What is the one thing that might be keeping you? And so we had a big prayer circle, and we didn't know, as Chris said, if you don't have anything or you don't feel led to share, that's fine. But we started on the opposite side of the room, and every single young person there shared something that was keeping them from doing this and that they asked for us to pray about. So for Ryan, she had said that that was very powerful, because she was able to hear things, even though we'd spent the whole weekend together, she was able to hear things that, and I too, that people were needing prayers for. That some were deep, some were surface, some were, I mean, they were all very real, and thankfully Chris kept note of what all of those were so that we could continue to pray this week. So that was, right? I know.
Some of them were not having time, like being distracted from living the reckless life. Some of them were judgment, being judged
Good.
For living the reckless life.
Good.
Do you guys remember what some of yours were?
Oh, Nick, tell yours.
Do you remember it? Go, Ryan.
Kind of felt bad saying it, I just said that. But, like, I having that passion to do it, I want to have that passion, but it's never really been inside me. I've always learned about God. Of course, I believe in God, but I just want to have that passion to pursue Him and have that relationship.
Which, I mean, very, very real stuff. Yeah, I mean, just, we walk the walk, but do we have the desire to stop and really make it important to our lives? So,
I guess my thing was just the involvement of the kids was just over the top this time. I mean, they're supposed to have a 30-minute discussion. It would turn into an hour discussion. You know, it's cut into their activity time, but they didn't care. I mean, it was just unbelievable. And Phil's teaching was over the top, too.
I just like going and seeing the kids studying the Bible. And I don't like zip line, and I'm not really liking the cot, so I don't spend the night anymore. But the camps were the camp's great, and I like sitting down, picking out a kid and just sitting down and listening and hearing what's being said. So when they're having discussions, sometimes I'm just the secret guy sitting back listening. But Herman has taught me about the Bible so long that flags go up when I hear something incorrect, and that's what Chris was referring to. The Holy Spirit just tells me you can't keep quiet. So I will tell them immediately, that's wrong. Let's go back. What do you mean? And we did that a couple times, and they're all looking at me like, who's this old broad doing this? So, I know. So I just love going. I hope I can keep doing that for many years.
biggest thing for me is trust in the Lord and He will act. He does it all. I looked around those kids, and there are kids we've been praying for years that were there. Years, all of us. And you guys probably have too and don't even realize it, but I told Chris, wow, so much answered prayer, we don't even stop to think and recognize when God is answering prayer we've been praying for these kids, and to see how the Holy Spirit is working in them and convicting them in their life and leading them. And we got kids going through some really tough stuff in these kids, their families, and making decisions for what they're going to do next in their life. And God is directing their steps, and they are listening. And it's humbling, and it is amazing. So trust in Him, and He will act. It was awesome.
Can I add something? One of the things that happened that was really interesting to me is we drove up to the parking lot, and Laurie was standing out there with a couple of the actual counselors. And Phil looked at me and went, wow, it's our prayer list. But said, wow, it's our prayer list. Those people are our prayer list.
What happened with the dancing?
Yeah, I'll tell that in just a second. I'm going to let Phil come up and tell us a little bit about what the teaching was, but yes, I will. Thank you.
I've seen this one. So here's the boring part of camp. Let's see. We have... Is this going to work? Where do I point this thing? This one? Oh, there we go. Okay. So, yeah. So, we started several weeks ago, started several years ago. Our first SLAM camp was Defend Your Faith, and we talked about this process of studying the scriptures. And we took the great big words, observation, interpretation, and application, and changed them to what, so what, now what, right? What does it say? And what does that mean to us that it said that? And now what are you going to do about it, okay? And that's the observation, interpretation, and application of Scripture. And we met at the Wise's house a few weeks back, and we talked to this particular group of kids about this process. And I told them this is the communication cycle. And everything that happens to us in our Christian life is really a part of a cycle that is God gives it to us and we give it back to God, right? It flows from Him to us and back to Him. So God gives us His Word. We ask for His Spirit to understand what God said. We look to His Word. We apply His Word to our lives. And we talk back to God through prayer. And that's the cycle that we were hoping to see everything that we studied or in everything that we studied. They are told so often these days that the Bible is like literature poetry. You know, you may think that it's a work of beauty, and another person may think it's talking about, you know, a tree or something, and they think that that's okay to look at the Bible that way. Well, to me, I feel like this means that, you know, and even if the next thing they say is something biblically true. To me, I feel like God really, really loves us. Well, yes, God really, really loves you, but this is not talking about God really, really loving you. It's talking about how God really, really, really loved you, you know? So we wanted to equip these young people, to be able to look at the Word of God and study it. And, God is not the author of confusion. He gives us clear instructions for what He wants us to do. And he says it for our own good. The Bible doesn't give us instructions to do with as we please. It has something true and definite to say. And so we look at the process of examining the Word of God so that we can... Process of understanding how a clicker works. Let's see. We want to understand God with God's power. We're not smart enough to know how to please God outside of His plan and Word. So, step one observation, look at what's in there, and these are, and I'm not going to do the whole class for you and go through each of these steps. It is in the notebook though, and these guys, they really listened to this and they read this and they did this. Okay, they observed the Word of God and the passages that they were given. They did that in advance with the passages that Ben had found for the Reckless series or presentation he did, and then they did it with me on the spot with some verses as well. So you observe, you look for relationship words, cause and effect. Can you do this, you adults? Do you do this with your Word of God at home? Do you just read a verse that you've heard before and think, well, I feel good? No, I want you to do this too. You don't have to wait to come to Bible class for Herman to do it for you. You can do these things too. Observe the Word of God. Look at cause and effect. Look at what they're saying there and what it really means. Come back here. Interpretation. In interpretation, answering the questions that arise during the observation. Because when you read it and you look at what's going on, you're going to say, what does that mean? What's that for? Who's that talking? What's that? And it's the basic, those basic who, what, why questions that you would ask in any academic situation. And then you've got to figure out where those things, what those things are there for and what they are. Five C's, context. Actually, it should be eight C's because the first three are context, 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 right? Okay. And cross-references. Oh, my gosh. These kids have learned how to use their Bible so well. They go to the back of it. They get those things on the margins. They say, why does this other word over here? They ask me good questions when I'm watching them interpret, you know, or look at the scriptures. Culture. They understand the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament and how that impacts verses. They aren't afraid of consultation. They aren't afraid to ask any of us really hard questions on the spot. And so they're really doing a great job in following in using this process. Step three, though, application, is why we're studying the Bible. And this is the biggest part I want to give to everyone here today. What is your application? It isn't just how has it helped me, right? The application of the Word of God is to glorify God more than it is to glorify ourselves or even to help ourselves. It's to glorify the person and work of Christ who glorifies the Father. And we have the power of God, the Holy Spirit, to do that. And we can do that in our lives. Apply it, right? That's the tough part, and that's the most important part of studying the Word of God. We've got to observe it. We've got to interpret it correctly to understand it. But if we just put it in a notebook and drop it in a drawer or store it in a box in the garage, it's not doing anything to advance the plan of God or help our lives, right? So just as he said in Go and Live That Reckless Life, you've got to use the Word of God that you learn or there's no point in learning it. So we want to, these kids were off asking these questions, doing a great job of it. Finding out how they can apply what they learn when we study the passage in the Bible. Let's see. So it's not just answering these questions, it's what it's going to do in your life. So this is the outline of Ben's class on Reckless. And the main reason, and you've already heard a lot of it, the main reason I want to go through it is so you get the overview again, but also count the number of verses that we've analyzed here as we did this. There's our verse, Psalms 37:5, commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will act. There's the 4 points of the reckless life. Talk to your dad, get yourself a new fit, stay in the Word, share the gospel. Prayer. And again, I put this up here, observe, interpret, and apply underneath that verse because the notebook that Lori made has got that for every verse in a space there. And those kids were doing that and putting it in the, you're writing it in their notebook. Every verse has this, it is in the notebook and has a spot for them to talk about what they observed, what they interpret from that, and what they're going to do about it in their lives, or how they can do something about it in their lives. Three more, so that's 4, 5, 6, how to pray. Awesome. This was an awesome cross reference that came up in at least two groups. There was one passage. Is this the Matthew 6? This is our Father, or is this the paralytic? No, don't pray like the hypocrites do it. And there was another one where the disciples couldn't cast out a demon, and Christ went and did the job, and they said, how come we couldn't do that? And it was because they were trying to do it themselves. They weren't doing it through the power of Christ and using the God, the Holy Spirit. And it was a great point for us to see just the mechanics of prayer. You pray to the Father, and you pray in the name of Christ so that it can get done by Christ and in God's power. All God's work, done by God's power. Prayer, so what were we up to? 5, 6 verses? 8, 7, this is 8? Okay, 8 with these two. And, prayer, staying in prayer keeps you from sin. Good point. new fit, let's see. Armor of God, Ephesians 6, okay, 9. Take off the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light, there's 10. David and Goliath's story. There's a short little passage for you, right? Yeah. 11, here's staying in the Word. Timothy, what could that verse be? The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, right? And let's see. Understanding the Word of God delivers us from temptations and guides us in our walk. So we have 15 there with those three verses or three passages in Psalms. Understanding the Bible makes us helps us make a case for it. Defending your faith, 1 Peter 3:15. Hebrews 4:12. Sharing the gospel, 1 Peter 3:15. Praise the Lord and make His good news known to everyone. Psalms 105. And let's see. You have to be willing to go where God sends us. Isaiah 6:8. So how many we up to? 19. So, and then share the gospel. 20. Okay. So there's 20 passages, not just 20 verses. Because remember, we're going to go into context, and we're going to get the ones coming before it and the ones after it. So, you know, we're talking a good chunk of study of the Word of God just in that part of the lesson that they had all analyzed these previously, and then they would present it to the other groups what they had observed, how they interpreted it, and what we could do about it. And they did some fantastic work leading the other groups and going through those things. Okay.
About things and how that would affect their lives and what they would do about it. So yeah. There was a lot of discussion around those things, not just presentation.
That's right. Yeah. And so that was just the stuff where Reckless had been in prepared. I got to teach a little bit of Bible class too. So yeah. And I did 3 classes. Actually, I went up Friday night, and we had some playtime together and talked about the gospel, and not a big Bible class, but Saturday morning we talked about keeping the faith, and Colossians 2:6, as you have entered, so continue to walk. And we looked at Exodus 17:1-7 and saw the lesson of Meribah, when the children of Israel lost all faith, despite all evidence that God could handle a little water problem, and refused to believe. And it was that thing, their refusal to believe, that caused a whole generation to die in the desert. Okay, and then I gave them these 3 verses, Hebrews, Psalms 95 is more or less just a repeat of the Meribah story, a little application. But Colossians 1:21 says, "And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach, if indeed you continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister." I gave them that verse and the Hebrews verse and the Psalms verse because all three of those verses sound like you could lose your salvation. And I it was funny as I was listening to the young people talk about this one in particular, this Colossians passage in particular. I went by the table where all the adults were sitting and discussing. I heard one of the adults go, "Oh my gosh, they're going to think they can lose their salvation." And as I went back over to one of the kids' tables, I hear one of the kids turn to the other kid and say, "Well, you can't lose your salvation." It's like, we're going to figure out this interpretation because we know that's true. We can't lose your salvation. And indeed, they did a fantastic job of examining it and finding out why. We didn't have to say to any of those three groups with those difficult passages, none of them came to the conclusion that they could lose their salvation ever. We didn't have to reprimand them and say, "Oh, okay, guys, come back here. Wait a second. Let's talk about this." They were all over it. They were all over it. In our second class together, we did a group Bible study on Ephesians 4, and I didn't necessarily do it in the same format as always. We kind of just broke it up into three groups, or three parts, and had all three groups look at it, and then we came back together and talked about it. And I did it that way because Ephesians 4 is about the unity of the Spirit. And my word, we saw the Spirit unify this group, saw it unify us. You know, we all do little bits of this. Lori does the notebook, Ben wrote a class, I did a little Bible study, Chris did a lot of logistical work, as well as Brian and Larry, and it's just, not one of us can say, "Gosh, well, I put together a great camp." Can we? Because God the Holy Spirit was alive and working in every aspect of this camp, I guarantee you. So we saw a lot of unity of the Spirit as we worked through Ephesians chapter 4. And a lot of unity of the Spirit in amongst us. You might be, some of you might be disappointed that we only have four campers here with us today out of 26. Was that our smallest slam camp? 26? We had them smaller than that before, yeah. But 20, that means we had four here. That means there are 22 kids out there in the world right now. Some of them in less than perfect home situations, stuck at home this morning when they wish they could be at a church. Some of them are in a church that doesn't teach salvation by faith and grace and living by grace. They are equipped and able to stand and defend true faith wherever they're at. And it may be for the promotion of the gospel to others, or it may be just to give them a little peace and comfort in their difficult lives this morning. And if it had cost $1 million to do this camp, it would have been worth every nickel. Okay? Let's see. We had one last Bible class after we talked about Ephesians 4 sticking together, and that was Sunday morning, and I talked about the fact that God wants you to be happy. And we know this because in Galatians 5:22, one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy, right? And joy, you know, you look at the fruits of the Spirit, And many of them are outward, you know, being kind and things like that towards others. But many of them are also for you, right? Joy is for you, not for the world outside or in your presentation. And we noted Psalms 16, 7 through 11. Joy is found in the presence of God. Joy is found in the presence of God. And there's the presence of God. You're occupied with His Word, His work for you, His work in your life. You study His Word to hear from Him. You pray to talk to Him. You're standing in the presence of God when you're in that cycle of communication with God. And that's where your joy is, in His presence. All right? So, that's just the overview of the classes. Over 26 passages that were studied and analyzed, and many skill sets advanced on how to do just that, study and analyze the Word of God. And it was a blessing to be a part of it, and you all were phenomenal. It was awesome!
So Ben is going to put on a... play the music and then the video. Ben's going to put on a video here while he's setting that up real quick, which as soon as the music starts, I'll stop talking. But this is a little booklet that Lori put together with all of that information. We have several of these left. We'll put some back there in the back if you'd like to take a look at it. If you want to take one home, if you want a copy of it, we can get you a soft copy of it as well. But these are pretty awesome. It has all of the – this is one that doesn't have a bunch of notes in it. But we have a few of these that haven't been used by the kids, but they get to take those home, and they take their notes in it, and away they go.
All these pictures, can you put a video together for us? And so she did it like overnight, Saturday night, so we could have
wow, cool.
That was kind of fun.
So
I just wanted to say thanks to everybody who supports this youth ministry. It's not ours. It's not ours. It's not a small little group. This is everybody's youth ministry here at this church, and it's God's youth ministry, and it's an honor and a privilege to be a part of it. But watching what goes on with these kids, y'all, if you haven't been in high school in a while, which most of us in here haven't been, it's tough. They deal with some seriously heavy things in their world today. And I know we had some heavy things that we thought we dealt with back in my day, and then some of y'all that were way ancient beyond before me. Not anybody in this room, but maybe on the internet, right? But your prayers, I'll start with prayers. The prayers for these kids, please continue to be in prayer for these young people. They're not kids, they're young adults, and they're making tough decisions. Some of them where to go to school, some of them are getting ready to go in the military, some of them are trying to figure out how they're going to survive their home life. There are tough things that they're dealing with all the time. And the world is telling them that they're wrong when they stand up for Christ, right? In fact, y'all can read it in the newspaper. The world is telling you, if you stand up for Christ, you're speaking hate speech. And it's a tough place to be. And they need to make their decisions whether, and seriously, if you think about that, speaking your love for Christ in society today is considered hate speech. So if you stand up and you speak for Christ, you are being reckless. Think about that. That's the world they live in. That's the world we all live in. But some of us have had the opportunity to start to insulate ourselves from some of that stuff. These kids don't have that opportunity. They have to get out in the middle of it. And we expect them to, and we want them to, and that's what God says to do. Money, you guys continue to support internally here, and those on the internet support us financially, because it takes money to do this stuff. The administration, we have folks that don't go to camp, you know, Leslie and Terry, and others that spend a ton of time putting this stuff on. And they don't stand up here and tell us all the cool stuff because they don't go. They got other things they got to do, and they take care of all the behind the scenes things. Continue to pray for these kids. Continue to pray for this ministry because it's pretty amazing. The last thing I wanted to tell about, and then I'll be done here, is what Larry was saying was we brought in a friend of ours that came in and did dance lessons, right? And you saw them doing their dance stuff up here. And I had this observation because I was actually helping her trying to run around, do some things. I'm not a dancer, but she said, hey, go push the button to play the music. And so let's not take that out of context. What I was saying, I was helping with the dance lessons. I was standing, so I had an opportunity to stand at the back and kind of watch what was going on. And I just had this realization that it is what was going on at that moment was a true model of the Christian life. So these kids came in and said, okay, Belinda, the lady who was teaching this, I trust you. I trust that you're going to teach me. Some of them were like, yeah, I trust. I jump in with both feet. Others were standing back here looking at each other, making snide comments about, oh, yeah. All right, I'll go with this thing. As long as I look cool, I'll continue to do this. Honestly, nobody looked cool. Some of them looked really good, but most of them didn't look real cool. But they put their faith in Belinda. Right, and said, okay, I trust you. I trust you that this is going to be something pretty neat. And she said, okay, take a couple of steps this way, and then tap your toe, and a couple steps this way, and tap your toe. And they're like, it's like all we asked to do is take two steps this way and touch your toe. Seems pretty simple. Or touch your toe to the ground. Seems pretty simple, right? Except for the part where when you actually do it, it's real hard. Kind of like when you're a brand new believer. Just take a couple steps this way. Trust me. Just take two steps this way and touch your toe. And then take a couple steps this way, and it seems simple until you fall all over yourself. And then they try it a few times, and she comes over and she gives some very specific directions to some of them that weren't paying attention. Like, hey, no, seriously, I need you to pay attention. Just like the Holy Spirit does to us when we try to just be cool and do it our own way, and we get focused on ourselves. And so we're watching this whole thing play out as the kids are practicing and they're trying, and Belinda's instructing, and they're putting their faith in the fact that she knows what she's talking about, and they do a couple more, and then they get a partner, and now they're supporting each other, and they're doing the steps, and yes, they're stumbling all over each other, and they're falling down, and a couple of them are stepping on other people's toes, and it gets kind of heated for a minute, and it's like, stop stepping on my toes, and then the next thing you know, they're dancing in step. And then all of a sudden, as you saw on the video, the entire room is marching in unison and dancing in unison, and they're doing the right steps, and they're not falling all over each other, and the entire place, the body of Christ is all moving in unison, and the joy that was coming out of that room from every one of those kids who said, I trust you, I'll do this thing, let me just tell me how to do it, and they're going around, and I almost broke into tears, because all of a sudden, here's this model of the Christian life with a group of 26 kids that have said, I trust you, I'm going to do it, I'm going to go out there on a limb. I'm going to live this reckless life. And the joy from that room was amazing. And that was what I took away from the weekend, was not the dance lessons, but the whole model was right there in front of us. Y'all, we just got to trust Him. And we got to take a couple steps, and sometimes we're going to fall down. And other times we're going to step on somebody's toes. But it's reckless to go out there and dance in front of the world and have the joy that just overwhelms you because God says, just trust me. It's reckless. But that's what we're called to be. It's reckless. So, continue to pray for these young people. Continue to pray for those that are teaching these young people and those that are in support of them. And continue to pray for each other because this doesn't happen without you all being involved. So thank you for all of what you guys do on the internet, in the congregation, those that aren't here that pray for us on a regular basis. So that's what we'll close with. If you'll bow your heads with me, we'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just take this moment to thank you. This is your ministry. These kids are yours. Everything that we do, we turn over to you, Father. And we just thank you for letting us be a small part, working through us, through your Spirit through us, so that we can just give a little direction, a little guidance, and just a lot of prayer. And Father, we pray for every one of these young people that were with us, those that are involved in our youth ministry, and those of their friends that aren't yet involved but will be. You know who they are, Father, and we just pray that you'll bring them into this fold and let them understand the joy that you have for them in their hearts through the power of the Spirit and the obedience that is faith. Thank you, sir, for all that you do. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, everyone. Super. I wanted you to see what happens, what you're supporting, and that's where the money's going. That's the effect of it. And, you know, if Phil's teaching, you observe what's in the text. I mean, 4 years of college, in seminary, not in high school, in seminary, you'd be surprised how they would read things that were not in the text. Just, first of all, the first thing you learn is observe. What does it say? And you'd be so shocked. I mean, no, it doesn't say that. No, it's not what it says. Just observe what it says. And then you start interpretation. No, that verse doesn't say that, what you're interpreting. No, that's not what the verse is saying. It's just amazing how difficult just observing a text and then translating what that text is saying. It's just amazing interpreting it. So that was a tremendous lesson. Oh, I can't believe they learned that in high school. That's great. Gee whiz. Okay. All right, we have just a few minutes. Let's get ready for communion. And hold. You know what? For some of you, leave the day's message back out there because you're not going to bring it back. So just leave it out there. And those of you that will bring it back, that's okay. And so let's get ready for communion. We celebrate communion the first and Sunday of each month. So two elements in communion, as you know. I think everyone here is understanding what the elements are about. The bread represents Jesus Christ as God, took the form of humanity, and as humanity, became the servant of mankind, dying on the cross. One of my favorite passages in dealing with communion is go back to Jeremiah, where you take the bread, you go over to someone's house, they're your friend, they've had someone die, their parents, their husband, their wife, their child. You go to their house, they've not eaten under Jewish custom, they've not eaten all day. So you go in, you sit down with them, you take a loaf out, just you and them, and you break the loaf. They know what you're doing. You're sharing their grief, and you give them their share, and then you both partake of it. What is that doing? That's giving them energy. They've not eaten all day, so it gives them energy, the fellowship, the encouragement. And it's called the bread of encouragement. Then you take, reach into your bag, you pull out a jug. The jug, you got wine. So you pour them some wine, two cups, some wine, use some wine, give it to them. The bread is the bread of compassion. The cup is a cup of encouragement to go on and live your life now. You've got to go on. They're home with the Lord. You've got to go on. That's what Christ did. I'm leaving. Then how are we going to know how to live? The Spirit's going to come. So each one of you, they would be like, you went to Jerusalem, we followed you. You went to Samaria, we followed you. You went to Galilee, we followed you. Where are we going to go if you're not here? I'm giving you the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord leads, that's where you go. Therefore, the church, believers, we all don't have to go in the same direction all over the world because of the cup representing the work of the Holy Spirit. So with these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the blessing of the bread. It is our custom that everyone hold the bread till everyone has been served. The point being here is, we could do it as you are given it. I like to do it till hold everyone's been served. We take communion with Him, communion together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the tradition of this ritual, the message that it gives us. To begin our month, remembering how we became members of this body, how we entered into Your plan by grace through faith. And that's how we want to live the rest of the month. We thank You, Heavenly Father, for Jesus Christ, who as God became man, as man became our servant, as our servant died on a cross and rose again, that we may have everlasting life. We begin this month remembering this. We thank You, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. Let's all hold the bread till everyone has been served. writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, "For I received from the Lord." It's a powerful statement. He came long after the Lord had already resurrected, ascended, and seated at the right hand of God the Father. But he had a 3-year seminary course out in the desert, and the Lord came to him and gave him this. It's very interesting. Paul never spoke in tongues, as far as we know. Not recorded anywhere. But he met the Lord, was indwelt by the Spirit, and filled with the Spirit. "For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" It is our custom that everyone holds a cup till everyone has been served, and we may take communion with him and take it together. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper. The Passover is over. This is for the church, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." In closing, I would like to encourage you, exhort you, to be in prayer. Wednesday night, Thursday night at the Wise's house, and Thursday night, Dave's house. Teenagers come over and have time in the Word, fellowship, and it's very important what happens spiritually. Please be in prayer for these two families. Be in prayer for Brian and Larry, Chris and Lori Dake. Think about it. Think about it. How would you like to have one night a week, about 15 to how many, 25? 15 to 25 young people, kids, at your house. No way. No way. Are you crazy? See? And they do it. So, they need your prayers. These young people need your prayers. Please be in prayer. Now, after we close here, we'll have fellowship together, and we can spend some time together just talking. Tish calls this gossip hour. That's not a good word. This is fellowship hour. We fellowship in this time. So let's close and begin our time together in prayer. Father, we thank you for the miracles, the blessings that happened at the SLAM camp. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for these adults who gave up their time to be there. We thank you for the young people. Pray, Father, your Spirit will continue to work on them, that it's not over by any means, that almost daily something will cross their mind that they learned at this camp. Father, we thank you that this assembly has the privilege of being part of that. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the outreaches that you give this assembly, not just the internet, not just missionaries, but to these young people and through our assembly right here. We stand amazed. Father, we praise you. We thank you now for the food that we're about to partake and the fellowship we're about to enjoy. In Christ's name, amen. And Phil will come over and plant them that later.